John 15:18 down through verse 25. The world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. All right, so we have still this love versus hatred thing. In verse 18, Jesus says the world will hate you. You know, if the world hate you, he's basically just reassuring them they're going to hate you. In verse 19, we see kind of two things. We see first the tension between God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Jesus called the disciples to follow. They chose to accept that call and to follow him. And so that was... He called, they responded, they chose to do that. In verse 20, again, we see this idea that you will be persecuted and that very few are going to listen to what you have to say. All right, so just as they, very few followed Christ truly or fully, very few listened to what he had to say, very few are going to listen to them as well. So verse 21, he says, all these things they will do to you on account of my name because they don't know him who sent me. So is the hatred the world has for Christians rational or irrational? So another big question here. Should have started with this one right now.
I guess according to who you ask.
Okay. All right. From a non-spiritual standpoint, would we say that the hatred the world has for believers is rational or irrational? All right.
By what standard outside of God?
All right. From a human standpoint, all right, from a non-biblical standpoint.
I think that they hate us because they don't understand.
All right. So is it... Man, I'm not getting my question across very well here without giving the answer.
They think they have a right to hate us because, I mean, what's funny is they don't hate Muslims, they don't hate Buddhists, they don't hate anybody, they hate us.
All right, so let's just, Dennis, were you going to say something? No, okay, you just had your hand back there. I didn't know if you were trying to get my attention. And I know this is hard maybe to do, but just for a minute, because I know what makes Christians different is the fact that we follow Christ. But setting that aside, all right, how would most people define a good Christian? Okay, I don't mean the hypocrite. I don't mean the one that says they're a Christian and then they live like the devil Monday through Saturday and just go to church on Sunday to check the box. I don't mean that. So a true follower of Christ, what attributes from a... Okay, and again, you're going to have to pretend like you're not saved, so don't use Bible words to describe. But if you're going to describe a Christian, a believer, what attributes or how would you describe them?
Loving.
All right, loving.
Accepting.
Tolerant. What?
Tolerant.
Truthful.
Intolerant.
Okay, intolerant of some things. All right? Hardworking.
Peaceful.
Okay? What?
Somebody that jumps out there and does whatever needs to be done.
All right, so helpful. All right, they're there to help. And so as you look at the good characteristics, good qualities, as you look at that, then the thought is, why do people hate that? Why are those things hated? And all right, so then the question, what I'm trying to get us to think is it rational for, okay, let me just set aside, okay, I don't go to church on Sunday. I don't claim to be a follower of anybody, so to speak. But my neighbor, you know, he's a good moral person. You know, his children obey. His children are quiet. They don't have parties at night. They don't keep me awake. Their dog behaves. You know, he's not dumping in my yard. And, you know, they pick up. And, you know, he doesn't bark all hours of the night. You know, they keep him quiet. Oh, But just because now they say they know Christ, I have this animosity, I have this hatred, I have this disgust for them. And so as you think about that, just from a human standpoint, it's really not it's irrational to think that. Because again, as a neighbor, who do you want to be your neighbor? The drug lord that's next door? Or the good, quiet person that minds their own business? And I think a lot of times, you know, the unsaved person, they'd rather have the druggie next to them. You know, because then they feel like, oh, well, they're worse than me, kind of thing. As opposed to, well, you know, the little goody two-shoes next to me, I can't stand them. But again, it's in a human thought process, it's not really rational to think that way.
That was the goody two-shoes was the thing I was thinking of, and that's because people don't like to have somebody to compare against themselves that looks so much better than them in
right.
a lot of respect.
Okay.
Not that all Christians are, but there's so many things that they'll oftentimes pick one or two things that they feel a shortcoming in themselves. We do it ourselves.
Christians do it too. But is that really rational to do? I would say no. It's really irrational to think that way.
See, those words can be applied just as well to non-believers. And when those kinds of nice words are rooted in self, people are accepting of it. What they are always responding against is Christ behind those words, because when a believer lives those words and they are rooted in Christ, not in self, they are always responding. Darkness is always going to fight against the light.
Right.
And
right.
fundamentally, that's what it is. So in a way, I would say that hatred is rational because it follows a logical pattern and course from the beginning of time of evil responding against God.
Okay. All right. All right. I understand where you're going with that. And I would say the inclusion of Christ in the mix does. Now, all of a sudden, we're looking at it through biblical eyes.
I received training once where we did a very similar exercise where we listed those words. And the training was for a spiritual ministry. And the problem is, those words can be applied same way to non-believers.
Right.
So when you're coming in with a spiritual ministry, you can't just be coming in as nice, accepting whatever. You have to, Christ has to be present.
Right.
And so it really is always Christ and God that they are providing.
Oh, yes, and I was just trying to look at it from a purely taking, and I hate saying taking Christ out of the equation, but you know, taking him out, just looking at it from a purely more secular standpoint for right now. All right, and we'll put Christ back in here in a minute or next week, depending. But from a purely human perspective, I would argue for that it's irrational. All right, because, you know, again, who doesn't want to live next to a good person? Who doesn't want to live next to, or who doesn't want in their society, in their community, to have children that know the difference between right and wrong? You know, that know that lying is and stealing and all of those different things are evil, and that honesty and giving are good. You know, even in a non-believing society, you know, we want people that uphold the law, that, you know, that aren't going to, you know, kill and riot. And, you know, even in today's society with the rioting and all that, there are a lot of unbelievers that are speaking out against that. You know, okay, we need to have a peaceful protest, but, you know, we should never, you know, destroy other people's property and go that route. All right, these aren't Christians talking. These are just unbelievers saying, you know what, that behavior is wrong. So there's got to be some moral compass that determines what is right and what's wrong. Where do you cross the line kind of idea? And they don't understand what that is. Of course, now again, we can put our Bible eyes on and know why it's wrong and why they know what is right and wrong a little bit more. But we look at these kind of things, and then again, yes, we bring Christ in, and we think to ourselves, you know what? Other than the fact that you know, I name the name of Christ, it's difficult to understand why people dislike me so much. Apart from the fact, as Renee said, because we were told that from Christ, and he, again, I think he's just trying to get his disciples to understand that, you know what? The world's going to hate you because of the fact that you name the name of Christ. And because you are my follower, not because, and again, the difference is they don't hate you just because you're a good person. You know, because again, there are a lot of good people, good moral people in the world that aren't hated to the degree that the same person is that, as Renee said, Ben says, I do this because of Christ. That's really the tipping point. And that's what makes the difference.
Few sentences back is also a good argument for why even in a non-Christian setting there has to be a reason for a God, because apart from somebody that sets the parameters between good and evil, you don't have good and evil. In an evolutionary type society, you don't, it's the survival of the fittest. So from the standpoint of something killing somebody else or state stealing something else, whether an animal or a person, that is because it's for survival for that person. So
right.
That isn't good or evil in that environment. So
yeah.
You have to have good or evil coming from an outside source.
Right. And they would argue that, but yes. I mean, they still, to some degree, they still see that as what society accepts or what society doesn't, what a court would say is good or not good, and they would buy into at least that degree in that part there. So it's really hard to explain it fully, but the motivation behind it is just really comes back to what Christ said, is we don't belong in the world. And you know, we don't, you know, we don't fit in with this world. We are not part of this world. And because of that, then the world hates us for that, because we're not like them. You know, we have something that they don't have, which is Christ. And so Paul labels the Christ haters as enemies of the cross, reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3, 18 and 20. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. But our citizenship is in heaven. From it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So by choosing Christ, we choose to be at odds with the world, just as he was despised and rejected. Christ was preparing his disciples and us that we will be despised and rejected as well. Because of that. So in the end, the hatred's fueled by the world's refusal to reconcile to God, and they accept Christ, Satan's lie. They reject Christ, they believe the lie, and as a result, they hate those that have believed the lie and come to a knowledge of him. We'll get to verse 22 next week. Father, thank you for the time this morning. Thank you for a great discussion and for folks that are thinking and willing to share. And I pray that you would bless this week, bless Pastor as he preaches in the moments to come. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen.